everyone. Welcome to The Firm, episode 12.
And, doesn't.
Yeah, bloody hell.
12
already. Who'd have thought the general public could take this much punishment?
Yeah.
But don't worry, by 24, you will regret it even more. This is the national preparation episode.
Yeah.
You thought we were preparing for vengeance. No. Because that was just Alex. Now we are preparing for national. Yeah, we'll talk about a couple of little bits here and there. You know, Veteran Kinder just came out. But yeah.
Yeah.
First thing. Right. I feel weird about these episodes, right? Because we've come on, we always play a game, and traditionally, I win the game. Usually.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I often wonder if we should play the game after. Like, we always think, we'll play a game ahead of time, we'll get in the Guild Ball mood.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I win in a certain way, I'll put you in a bad mood. More importantly, I put myself in a disproportionately good mood.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, for some reason I'm feeling good. For some reason Alex is feeling not as good.
Well, I don't know about that one. I feel pretty fine about this one. Because I think that if you didn't get your Hearn goal at the top... So it went 12-10.
Yeah.
You got a goal with Hearn and 4 takeouts?
3.
Fucking bear hugs, that's funny.
Oh, bear hugs always making money for me.
Yeah. So you got the Hearn goal, turn one, a couple of bear hugs, a normal takeout.
Yeah.
I got 2 goals and 1 takeout.
Yeah.
Dangerously close to a second as well.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that if you hadn't got your goal at turn one, I think the game would have been different.
Yeah. I feel like if I didn't think it was possible, I'd have done something different.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that's a weird thing. Even when you miss a goal, knowing it bumps up against the goalpost and you don't get to, you know, shoot it back out.
Yeah.
For me, that would have been like, all right, you've at least got to move backward.
Yeah.
I always feel like that teleport goal with Hearn is worth the risk pretty much every single fucking time. And the thing I like about Hearn is that you go, all right, I get the counter attack now. Surely I'm going to kill Hearn. I'm like going, I'm one activation from foresting and he is fucking gone.
Yeah.
In the sense that he can travel the length of the pitch going forward and get the goal. He can travel the length of the pitch back.
Yeah.
And you kind of got... You basically got an activation to kill him if I get first turn.
Because he's got to be within 4 inches of the forest AoE.
Yeah.
So he can move 4 inches and then 3 to the other side. Yeah. So if... Yeah.
It's pretty much impossible to keep him out of that as well.
Yeah.
Like, I keep trying to put it, like, you know, near him where I can start with the teleport. I need to just put it, like, 10 inch away from him so he can just run.
Yeah.
And then teleport at the end. And then the end can cover and all that lot. But, a weird one coming in on a game like that. Like, okay, very close, 12-10.
Mm.
And I think it'd been a different...
I was fairly pleased with that, I think.
Yeah. But, I think that negative feeling after a loss is just hard to...
Just inherently...
Yeah,
in there,
it's just...
Yeah.
We're not fucking Buddha, are we? Like, it's not the kind of thing we go... I think we'll do an episode on that properly down the line, on like trying to actually break past the mental barrier of, you know, defeat.
Mm.
But that's all for another time. Ladies and gentlemen, national is approaching. I'm looking forward to this. It's like one of the first major, like, actual tournaments.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah, in the same way that, for me, Vengeance was my first event outside of, like, 16-player local games where, you know, a local tournament for local people. it was the first time I sort of, apart from BonesCon, which was different because it was a con, it was three 16-man tournaments over 3 days instead of a big thing over the 3 days. So it's going to be your first proper tournament in a way.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't view local, you know, 16-man tournament like, you know, like the Highlander style battle of the will, the best one wins, and you know you're declared the best in Yorkshire or whatever. I kind of view it like in gaming you have like ranking where a bunch of people get together and it's effectively a tournament, but it's not really a tournament. It's just to determine the ranking of that very small collection of people, you know, in that time. And that's kind of how I view tournaments, in kind of like a fun casual way to play 4 games in a day
and kind of
vaguely find out where you are. But this is like a proper, the best people are showing up, like a collection of people showing up where if you win the national, you can make the case that you are the best. If I were to win UK national, I can make the argument that I am the best in the UK right now. Yeah, no, good. I am looking forward to national. Like, it's a test of, like, this is a real test.
Mm.
If you keep winning, you don't just get against, like, a mook or some dude.
No.
Or potentially a guy who's already lost a couple of games. If you keep winning, you're either against the best in the world, or best in the UK at the very least, or someone who beat them. Even if I don't go against top-ranked players, if I keep winning, eventually I'll play the guy who beat the top-ranked player. Okay, if I come out of national with 1-2 or 3, or even top 8, I can make the argument, at the very least, I'm top 8 in the UK, I'm top whatever in the UK. I know Longshank ranking and all that lot, but that's very dependent on how much you play.
Yeah.
Like, a guy who losing has an even win-loss ratio, but you play a shitload of games, will have a higher Longshank ranking than someone who only plays a bit, but wins every game.
That's it, I'm substantially higher than you in Longshanks. I've got 9 wins, 23 losses or something.
An absolute travesty. Yeah. An indictment of Longshanks ranking system. But no, I mean, like, yeah, you play more, you are experienced. And I don't really attend tournaments on that. That is the reason. That'd be my thing. I need to get a really good position at national. To quit forever. I don't play, do I? No one will ever know how. If I get first at national, I'm going to retire, not play anything. And then when Kingdom 4 comes out, I'll end Kingdom 3 going, best in the UK in Kingdom 3. But we're having that time of the week again. That time of the tournament, prep time. Alex, how do we feel going into national?
So, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Feeling that, sort of, when I finished Avengers, when I came back, I had a much, much improved mindset than I did when I was going in. You know, when I was going in, I did feel like the next person drawn is just the next person who's going to beat me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've come out of that and I've started thinking that, like, yeah, I'm not the best player in the world, but then I'm looking, I'm thinking, well, I don't think there's anyone locally who I haven't beaten, and beaten more than once to prove that it wasn't just a fluke.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's, like, obviously that's just a local area, but it does sort of then start to reinforce the fact that, yeah, I'm not just a complete loser and a complete victim in this game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a position where my target for the weekend is going to be 4-2, you know, I want to win more games than I lost, because what did I come out of Vengeance, was it? I think it was 3-4, just the wrong way around. I want to go the right way around this time, you know. And you put it a great way the other day when I was thinking, oh, there's so many, you know, it's the nationals, you know, people, there's going to be killers there. It's going to be an absolute shark tank. And you said, do you think you can win a game of Guild Ball? Yeah, I do. Do you think you could do that 6 times? Well, yeah, I suppose I do. Well, there you go then. You know, there are going to be variables in there, you know, and each game is going to progressively get harder.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. But the fact is, yeah, do you think you can win 6 games of Guild Ball? Yeah, I do. I mean, like, I think that my goal of winning 4 out of the 6 games, I think, is achievable and reasonable, and that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, when it comes to my thinking on that, I try and break it down to its most basic element. We start with, okay, am I the best player in the UK? Well, if you answer that, you go, no. Okay, you've lost national. Can I beat the best player in the UK? I don't know. Okay, I've lost national. It goes from being like, can I sit down with anyone who's on that leaderboard? Can I beat that? If we're that, okay, forget national for now. Can I, if you just put me against anyone in the world right now, anyone, top ranked player, whoever, I think I'm in a comfortable enough position and I know the game well enough that if you sat me down with any player in the world, and I've said this to you before, I'd bet on you. Again, not to win every time, but I wouldn't be sure, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you're that kind of player.
It's one of them games where I think that anyone who enters that tournament, you know, like, if you could sit and you could play 100 games against anyone, I don't think either side would win 100-0.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the point. It comes down to, you know, all you need is for that is for the one win, or maybe the 30 wins to the 70. Just need one of them to happen on the right day.
That's kind of my thinking, is that, can I beat any player in the world right now? I think, yeah. Can I beat them 100% of the time? Probably not. But would I feel okay going into the matchup? Would it be guaranteed that I lose? No. In fact, I reckon I could give them at very least a hard time.
And I think that's what, I know some people think that we talk quite a lot of shit.
Like,
I know that some people think we talk quite a lot of shit. And I think that's the big thing we need to make clear, that when we say, do you think you could, do you think you could beat Jamie Perkins? This is his game. Do you think you could beat him in a game of Guild Ball?
Me?
Yeah. There you go. Do you think you could beat him 100% of the time?
No, obviously not.
That's the huge difference, isn't it? That's where the difference steps in. You're not saying that I think I could beat that player doesn't mean that you think that every single time, hand me a guild, I don't care what it is, I will beat them. The point is saying that I'm going in with my strongest guild. Yeah, they're going to be coming in with their strongest guild, but sometimes all you need is for one stack of influence to go the wrong way. Yeah. You need one dice roll to spike the wrong way, and you can complete, and that can completely change it. That can open it out. That can do all sorts.
Well, that element of thinking going into it, going like, it's not just a case of can I just beat any player put in front of me.
Mm.
Do I think they are so good that their victory guaranteed? Absolutely not. And I don't think it's something unique to myself. I don't think this about myself and not think about other players. Plenty of people I played, or I even beat a lot, who I think are great players and make good decisions, and I've had bad luck. It don't go their way, or more importantly, I've made a good call.
Mm.
But they, like, I remember, like, I was saying to you about had that game where I pushed Keener off a pitch,
yeah,
and he brought her on at the back of the field. I went, he, like, it was the right decision to bring her on at the back of the pitch. Wasn't favourable, and you know, he'd been put in the position, but he'd done the right thing. He hadn't made a stupid decision. He knows the game. He knows what I can do. A lot of players are like that. I don't think the bell curve in Guild Ball is as extreme as people think. Like, the idea of, you know, you got the absolute worst, the absolute best, and only a few of them, and then you got the huge bell curve in the middle.
Mm.
I think the bell curve, the end of the bell curve, hit a bit higher than you think. I think there are quite a lot of really good players. Maybe there are quite a few top 30% of,
yeah,
quite a few bottom 30% of, and everyone else in the middle. I don't think it's a case of, like, there are one or two guys who are just going to crush it every time.
Yeah.
Some people are incredibly consistent. Like, and we've seen them at the tournament. We've got Steve Easton, Henry Kay, Jason Mountain, Fraser from Scotland. Good players. People we know are good at this game who have been consistent. But only one guy can win. One of those fuckers is going to win.
Yeah.
You know, three of, out of them four, as good as they are, three of them have got to lose. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. Can I beat any one of those guys? And when I say, can I beat them? Is it impossible for me to win? That's really the question I'm asking. I live in a world of maybe.
Yeah.
And people always think, can you beat them? Oh, wow, you think you're so fucking god. Like, I don't think I'm ridiculously good at the game, but I live in a world of maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the big change that I had when I came out of the other side of Vengeance. I went in with the idea of, well, sort of artificially, sort of inflated, sort of, can I do it, can I not do it, from what you've been saying. But my normal position would have been going in, sitting down at round one and going, oh no, that person's better than me, I've lost this game. You know, but and I haven't even, you know, we haven't even rolled to see who's going to kick off, and I'd already lost.
Yeah,
you know, so that idea of you just got to open it out. Is it impossible for me to win this game? No. Mm-hmm. Well, then if it's not impossible, it's possible. There you go. So you're going to win it. So win it.
That's what I mean about the reduction of it down. No. I take it from, am I the best in the UK? To, can I beat the best in the UK? Can I win games progressively harder? Can I win one game against the best guy? Yeah. Okay. Can I do that times in a row? Maybe. Not always against the same guy.
Mm.
And more importantly, I'm an unknown player.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely, like, we've got the podcast, but I'm not going to make the mistake of thinking, oh, top player listen to this shit. Like, and if I was listening to me, I wouldn't think much of me either.
Mm.
I'm not really highly ranked. I'm not really, but I guess,
have never gone to a tournament before.
Barely gone to a fucking any major tournament. But frankly, I confirm that works in my favour.
Mm.
I think you've got to get out of that mindset of people view confidence.
Arrogance.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just so sure they can call but a done thing. It's why people really like, you know, to see the downfall of confident players. I remember saying to you before, even though I go in with an attitude, in the world of maybe, going, there's no reason I can't walk out of this first place.
Mm.
People view that as like going, oh, if you lost then, you had something. What, you learn your lesson? If I walk out of this tournament, national, and I lose every single game, nothing about my attitude will change. I will not walk away from that going, like, I guess I've just lost forever.
Yeah.
If you turn around to me right after that, and I've lost 6 games in a row, I've not even played for fucking national, I've ruined my long chance rating. And people turn around and go, huh, do you think you'd win against a game with Henry Kay now? Yeah, I think I would. Like, you've just got to keep it moving. Like, I know it seems weird to hear those two things together, and people have a really hard time engaging with that. And that's another thing about the kind of thinking. I don't know how to put it. It's not just a way of thinking, it's a belief of a kind.
Mm.
The reason why a lot of people, I can tell if to someone genuinely and go, listen, I've seen you play. Because I don't want you to think, like, there are no players from the world who can't just lose every fucking game. There are people who are genuinely just terrible and just can't win because they don't have the mind for it, or it's just not their kind of game. Fair enough. There are plenty of games I've played in my entire life gone, I'm trash at this, I'm never going to play this fucking thing again, and I'll know I'll never get better at it. Whatever. Can't fucking swim. That's going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like going, if I believe it enough, I won't drown.
Yeah.
It's like, I went and got in the pool, had a flash around, and went, fuck me, I'm going to die in this thing if I don't get out. Like, could I learn eventually? I'm going to take Olympic gold medal. Obviously not. But having a bit of belief in yourself. I can talk to a shit player or like a middling player who doubts himself and tell them, right, you can win, you can do all this shit, I can give you all the pep talk, but they have to believe it.
Yeah.
They have to let themselves go into the world of fucking maybe.
And that's the, I think that's the big difference going forward at the moment than when going towards Vengeance, when you were saying all that, and you were saying the words and I was going, yes, that is true, I can see where that you're coming from there. And over the last couple of months, taking it on board and actually sort of absorbing that concept and going, yeah, you don't have to be good enough to beat someone every single time you play them. You just have to be good enough that it's possible for you to beat them this time.
Yeah, you have to be good enough on the day. Yeah. You only go to the last game you played. I won the hell of a... I am champion of the first one.
That's it. There could be only one. Yeah, there was always a winner and a loser.
Yeah, we're currently fighting it for the championship.
The eternal struggle that will battle for the ages.
Yeah. It's like a Valhalla situation, looking at them. But yeah, absolutely. Like, if I were to win at National, I'd feel absolutely confident in walking out going, I'm the best player in the UK.
Mm.
For now. If I lose my next game, I guess that guy's the best player in the UK. Mm. Like, what other measurement have you got?
Yeah.
I don't mind saying that. And I like that kind of flexibility about it. I like the always being pushed element of it. I think for me, the game is most fun when I'm up against the absolute best player I'm going to play. I fucking get frustrated sometimes. And yeah. I get a bit deflated depending on the win. But I think that, for me, that's where the real enjoyment of the game lies.
Well, when you're playing a game and it's against someone who you're really fighting for everything, the highs feel higher and the lows don't feel as low.
Yeah.
Because when something goes wrong, you just go, oh no, well, they haven't been playing well. But when you get something, you go, fuck yes, you're not magic. You know, you get that.
Okay, I'd argue that's a bit of a losing mindset coming in. That's still being in an area of like going, if something goes wrong for me, that is just expected. If something goes right for me, oh yeah, yeah, oh, it's possible. It's like, yeah. You've got to go in there like, I can't remember what it was from. It was probably from a fucking Charmin advert or something. But a professional bowler doesn't calibrate every time you get a strike. Like, you've got to kind of go in there with that, like going, did I get low? Whatever. Did I get high? Fine. And that's where you play. If you play it like you would casually, like, yeah. if we play against any casual player, you'd never celebrate in the same way.
Mm.
But you would play your best in that game. Like, you'd see the opportunity waiting for you on the board. Push yourself into that mindset of, this guy is just a dude, and if I get defeated by him ahead of time, I'm not even going to play my best. Mm. I'm going to play my worst. In fact, I hear that anyone listening to this podcast who's showing up to National, I think if you enter a National, surely you're not so terrible of a player you just can't win. And by terrible, I don't mean people just getting into the game. You know, people who are learning.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone who go, I'm new to the game, I can't win. That's a different thing. The people who play a lot and they just can't engage with the rule set. If you enjoy the game, more importantly, fucking never keep that in mind as well. The reason I think a big part of the reason I do well at tournaments is that I enjoy the process of the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, when people go, I've drawn the guy who's going to win, and they don't enjoy the game, like, it really gets them down, almost. Like, oh, I wish I could just stay in bottom table and just win.
Yeah, like, what do you want? Like,
yeah.
Do you want the chance to be doing well, or would you rather just be, okay, this is Gary, he's only playing on the bottom table today, so when he's drawn, he's, like, celebrating every time, going, yes, another easy win. Like,
yeah. Well, it's hard. I get that mindset, though. Like, you do want to win. And you do want to... There's something very comforting about going into the game and going, kind of, I know I've got this. Or the odds are in my favour. Like, in the same way, if you get a really good matchup, like, going, like I've said before, if I get a Brewer matchup, and I know Brewer's making a bit of a comeback, veteran deck makes nice, but I don't think I'm convinced by that fucking... For me, you're bringing a team... You're bringing one good model for a team I can ruin. Like... People feel like, oh, gotta watch out for Brewer, can't you?
Mm.
You have, haven't you? Can't wait for that matchup. But yeah, going into a bad matchup, you can't help but fight off the negative feeling.
Yeah.
Knowing you're going against a guy who wins most of the game, you're gonna feel a bit fucking. I'm not having a go at anyone who goes, the next guy's a fucking killer, he will probably win. I have negative feelings, how dare I?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to feel down. But you're already on the back foot then. No. Get back into the fun mindset, the casual mindset. It's so fucking important. It's one thing where it's hard to talk about in generality. You've kind of got to tailor the message to the player.
Yeah.
But cause they're all different types of nervousness. how people play, how they think, why they think.
For me, it's I stress out about the fact that suddenly this game matters.
Yeah.
Like, this game this morning that we've just played, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah. Like, nothing's happening. Realistically, the six games I'm going to play next weekend don't actually matter.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, if I lose, the bank's not going to take my house off me. You know what I mean? Like, they don't matter. But for some reason, because suddenly it's in a tournament environment, you know, and like, well, you do, you sort of hype it up, you look forward to it, you think, what if, you know, it's in a way it kind of does matter because you put more weight to them games. And I think what I need to start getting over now is not putting that weight on them games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, if you lose national, just the second you get home, go ball police, open up. I think you said we demand a minimum 4-2.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah.
Come on now, we've already executed Dave Milton. I'm only kidding, Dave. God, I probably shouldn't. We're staying in the hotel room with him. putting in casket and a cock.
Casket time, this.
He'll be printing off an MDF dagger to fucking dagger. Getting through a metal detector. I'm overthinking it now, maybe. What was that film with Woody Harrelson where... Oh no, it's John Malkovich, where he like had like a 3D printed gun.
Yeah.
Like an MDF gun, MDF crossbow. <crossbow. laughs> That scene from Inglourious Basterds where we're playing with a hunting circus mortician and he got the gun under the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh man. Nah, I'm expecting... There's no players, I think, who's going, who I've looked at, and I'm like, huh, well, they can't take it, obviously.
Yeah.
Like Dave on a... Dave and JP, the guy who we're probably going to be going with, on a good day, if they're playing their best. Don't know.
Well, that's it. I've seen games go either way for them.
Yeah, you know?
Like, I've seen them go to I've seen them 12-0 people, I've seen them be 12-0.
It's hard to turn around when you think from, like, Dave and JP and go, oh, they'll lose because the other person knows the game better than they do.
Yeah.
Like, fucking... Yeah. They are. They're the King Kong 3 rulebook. They probably know the King Kong 4 rules before it even fucking comes... They probably wrote them. They've already just made like a hypothetical one and wrote it down and just keep the matching. Yeah, they already know what the rules are. They're just pretending. No. But yeah, you've got, again, hard to go in with that message. But okay, your thing of going in with, or the game matters. Okay, going back to that element of confidence. Having confidence in the ability to do something and disregard the consequence.
Yeah.
Or the, 9 times out of 10, the perceived consequence. Like, there's almost nothing in this world that actually has real life-ruining consequences. If there's ever been anything that happened to you that went, oh shit, that happened, I guess I'm just miserable forever. No, you'll recover, you're fine. You get better. Your girlfriend broke up with you. You lost your job. How many jobs were you in at the time of working there? And you went, man, it just felt like the most important thing in your life. And the second you walk out that door and go into another job, how fucking quickly do you forget about that place? And you go, how quickly did the thought occur to you? I'm like, going, fucking hell. I sweat and bled for that place. I don't even fucking think about it.
Yeah.
If only to go. I only think about it if only to go. I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Just to let it get on me of how little I care about that thing. Getting into that and feeling that nerve and being able to have the conversation with yourself in real time and go, what am I fucking doing? Why am I this nervous? And I'll tell you, I played against people in tournament, 50-man tournament. Okay, I go in there going, I think you have to play a full game. But I played against people who were fucking shaking at the table.
Yeah.
And
that's me.
Not anymore. You're all turning around now. Get that fucking Rocky theme tune in on background. We've got this from here. What do you reckon? I'll take first. Do you take second?
I think I'll take first. You'll take second, mate.
If I let you. You think you're just going to walk in and take my gold egg off me? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it. I really hope...
Can you imagine the fucking... Like, the parallel universe where I missed a Magoo my way, win first place, and then I'm just like, okay, I'm playing in the World Championships now.
Watch your fucking Forrest Gump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tell you what, right, if I walked up last game and they went, due to him miraculously winning 5 games. You're playing against Alex Jones, like going, ah, it made me know. I won't go into that game going, ha, beat Alex all the time. Fucking hell, first place, here I come. Mm-hmm. I'm like, shit. Alex knows the way I play. He knows my team. I know he's been thinking. He might throw me a curveball. He might do this. He might do that.
Put down six models you've never seen before.
More importantly, it's not like we play a game and I beat you 100% of the time. No. Like, here, even though I win a majority of that game, you beat me enough that if we were playing out for grand final, I wouldn't go looking in the back.
Yeah.
I'm like going, fucking Alex, you've got it in it to... Alex has got it in him to beat me. Like, that'd be the X factor going, like, I don't know about that. I'd be fucking sweating it out in that game. Like, how much I want to reach for the mic and find the player who are ready to lose and just give him a bit of a shake and go, man, fucking get your head out of here. Get your head out of here. I'm going to be fine. Fucking enjoy this shit as well. Yeah. No point wasting a perfectly good weekend on being fucking nervous for half.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably fucking, even if you haven't taken time off work, like, yeah, you got your weekend off. Like, have a good time. And speaking of having a good time, we're gonna be we got a couple of questions that totally weren't asked for ahead of time. To be fair, a bit better, because I literally just posted them this morning. Got a couple of bites. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Like, people even give a shit. Fucking hell. But yeah, for the National, we're actually going to be there all weekend. Not all weekend, but we're going to be there Saturday night. So, if people are around, I know a couple of people said they want to get in touch and, you know, hang out. So I don't know what the fuck we'll be doing.
Neither do I.
But if we're playing Guild Ball and shit, if people are around, we're going to be wearing obnoxious purple.
Oh, yeah.
The firm t-shirt.
The t-shirt's coming out.
Yeah, if we've given you a dag, that's one token to get invited to the exclusive. That's how we're going to get them back and make that money back. If you're around and you want to hang out and say hi, we'll probably go to a pub after. I quite like Manchester, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like Manchester for a night out, you know.
Should we just go out on Saturday?
Yeah, fuck it, I don't give a shit, yeah. I'm taking... Again, last tournament went to. I took second place and now I'm coming off fucking dental surgery. I'm not going to let a potential hangover ruin my...
It got me dangerously close to thinking about getting my wisdom teeth removed on Friday night.
Yeah. That's the magic. That's the X factor. I've literally just had two pulled out as well on Monday. Well, that's how I know I'm going to be at my best. Fucking hell, if it gets infected on the day, I'm going to be so pissed off at my teeth. If I'm in that much pain, I'm going to be so angry just being in pain. Fucking hell, you'll believe I'll be playing to ruin your fucking day.
If either of you, mate, that my 10-inch stick is going to be coming dangerously close to just a gentle poke, just by accident, like, whoop.
I'll be in that danger zone of, like, going, you thought I'm playing for fun before, I'm playing to put people in the mood. Oh, God. Fucking dental surgery is the worst. But yeah, we'll be doing like a bit of a meet-up. A couple of guys we'll probably hang out with. But yeah, we'll go to a pub, we'll chill out, talk shit about Guild Ball. And if we can't be out from the pub, go to Cambridge, get a bottle of vodka, play some Guild Ball in a hotel room, play a bit of Yu-Gi-Oh maybe.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, if you're up for that, just let us know. We'll be around. It'll be hard to avoid them. So keep that in mind. But yeah.
I think one thing I also wanted to throw out was, like, once you've just lost a game, it's one thing I've found really, really hard is when I've just lost a game, I find it hard to come out of the idea that, oh, that's it then, you know? Like, because you should still be fighting for as good a place as you can get, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so that, what I find a lot of people always saying is, oh, right, well, you know, what did you learn from the game? What did you take away from the game? But I found that for me personally, when I would do that, I would end up thinking back and I would end up just thinking over all the mistakes I made and it would just wind me up. So I found that for me, what works best is just making a clean break, and instead of thinking about the game at all, I just go, right, that happened, lost that game, doesn't matter, on to the next one. And it sounds ridiculous, but when I'm at a tournament, I just, once I've got my dice tray out, everything just goes in the dice tray and I carry that around.
Yeah.
But after losing a game, I've found that it helps me a bit more if to completely put everything back away into my tournament case. So then when I go to the next table, I'm completely starting afresh.
Yeah.
I know it sounds completely ridiculous.
No.
And the majority of the advice I know is people say, like, think back, what mistakes did you make? You know, let's try and make sure you don't make them again. If I do look back, it's because I'm going, what worked? Like, what did I think wouldn't work and what did come off? Like, Kraken patting to Angel for a snapshot for the game. You know, like, things like that. And the idea of, you need to, if you start making a, if you look at a decision and you go, no, I'm not going to do that, and you go, because it's ridiculous, or because it's not a smart play,
yeah,
you need to think of that, that how that branching flowchart works down. What is the worst thing that could happen at the bottom of that flowchart, and what's the best thing that can happen?
Yeah.
Because if the best thing that can happen is, if the thing happens and you win the game, then it's very few times you shouldn't be going down that path, you know?
Yeah.
And fucking...
Well, we had that in the game which you played,
mm.
where you went for a goal run early with Angel, and she went after for hard defence, dude, five defence. And if you'd got it, it'd have put you in a way much better position.
Yeah.
It'd arguably help you win the game. Like, I think I'd had a harder time fighting back and forth. And more importantly, I hate to see people who try a good play, and when the dice don't go their way, they retroactively make go, oh, that was a bad decision. Like, no. Just because it didn't happen, don't, like, that was the right call. You're looking at the objective side of it, which is, I do this and this, and I'll try for that. And then you look at the random side of it and go, oh, because the random failed, the objective side also was a bad decision. It's like, no, that run, I was saying to you when you tried that goal of Angel, if I was on your side, I would have tried that.
Yeah. And I used to do the same when, like, a couple of weeks ago, we said that I was at an Ultimate Frisbee tournament, and there was, as there always is, there's people who have literally just started playing. And there was one lad, he threw a disc from, he was trying to get it from one end of the pitch to the other, and if the person had caught it at the other end, they'd have scored a point, right? And he was kicking himself because he threw it, but he didn't quite, he's just started, he doesn't have the full length sort of accuracy,
yeah.
and it went wrong, and he was kicking himself. And I just wanted to, and I just wanted one of the people on his team, because I could see how frustrated he was. And something that really helped me is when I was first started playing, is someone, I did something almost exactly the same, and someone went, it doesn't matter that it didn't happen, what matters is you made the right choice.
Yeah,
it was the right option, it was poorly executed. We can work on the execution.
Yeah,
you know, you can work on that. The fact is that you're in the right headspace, you're making the right decisions.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of, that situation translated into Gilball would have been when I charged Fahad, and he went from five defence to six because your defensive stanced, and I was kicking myself going, I shouldn't have done that, I should have gone for something else. And then you said to me, in your position, that's what I would have done. And then I took a step back and I had to think, no, I did do the right thing. I made the right decision. That was the thing that would have... I needed two successes on a bucket full of dice. I needed two successes, and I would have almost guaranteed got that goal, because Angel, super shot, bonus touch, she's going to get the goal, right?
Yeah.
That just happens. And if I hadn't, that would have given you enough time for... you were going second, so you had the momentum. Hearn, who was knocked down, almost engaging already, would have stood up, taken the ball, and he was so close to the goal that could have happened. Or someone else would have charged in. I had a couple of people who were quite low, so I was risking getting the 4VP for sacrificing them too, potentially. So that's why I think looking back on games isn't very helpful, because in that situation, if I'd been playing anyone else... And it wasn't you who then went, no, stop worrying about it. If I'd been playing anyone else, any faceless person I'd never met, they wouldn't have thought anything else of just standing up and walking off to their next game.
Yeah.
But because I would have sat there and I would have stewed over that, and I've been thinking, shit, I just lost the game because of that.
No, you've got to take a step back from decision making. Like, you had a game you lost at the other tournament where you went, oh, I tried for a snapshot of Angel, I had a million dice and I didn't get it. You didn't turn around, because you had a shitload of dice and you knew the odds were on your favour.
Yeah.
You go, oh, I should have got that and I didn't. Oh, well, still a good decision. But you do the same thing, go, oh, because the dice weren't as good. Like, there is a hard barrier with the dice where you get to objectively just bad decision making.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've got one dice to get a kick. Should I chance it? Like, if you can't do anything else, I guess. But, you know, it's not a terrible fucking decision to make. For you, you just needed basically a hit on a charge. I think two hits on a charge and that was yours.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, yeah, were the odds completely on your favour? Obviously not.
Mm.
Boy, fucking in the realm of impossibility, and if you got it, you just needed to get over that one slight hurdle and you would have been fine. And again, you didn't go, well, I'll try to kick anyway, I'll try and force a situation that ain't gonna happen. You went, oh yeah, I'll do what I can, and punted it back. Yeah, good decision. I'd have done the same thing. And looking at the board, and you can't just go, it didn't go my way because of the dice, that makes it a bad decision.
Yeah.
Again, in the future, where it could, that potential to do that again come across, you go, oh, last time I tried that, I didn't get it, and I regretted it. I'm not even going to try.
Yep.
Bang, I've done the advantage. Like, if I played against you again, and I hadn't fed out, or even importantly, maybe I'd even gone, I probably shouldn't have tried that.
Mm.
Fuck my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, me coming in and going, I'd have done that, makes you feel better. But being able to go, like, I've had this argument with people on before where I mentioned on the record of the podcast where you come to our opinion on model and team. I can't go, my opinion is enough for me. I don't let someone else come in. Especially the guy I'm fucking playing against who's trying to beat me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a mistake thinking other people are charitable than I am on the board. Don't make the mistake the guy who's trying to fucking beat you. Going to give you the best information. Being able to go, I know what I'm trying to do. I know what I'm trying to do and it didn't work out all well. But I know in that situation I did the best I could with the information I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Don't let outside factor in judgment. Like, okay, if you're playing in a tournament and the other guy had gone, oh, shouldn't I? I wouldn't have done that. Well, I did.
Yeah.
And if I'd have gotten that, you'd all like, right, fucking the deal, wouldn't you? That kind of, you kind of got to go in with that kind of attitude of, yeah, I know what I'm doing, and if I got that, you'd have turned around and gone, oh, man, you win big, you risk big, you win big.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have done the same thing, would he? You've got, I'll do that, I get the charge, I get a push dodge, okay, I've got to go. I wouldn't have gone, oh, but she'll look. Welcome to the nature of the game. Right. Yeah, pushing past that barrier. Don't let your opponent push you into an area of doubting yourself. Like, yeah, go in with your own opinion, reset. That's the good thing about when you lost your game. Put all your shit back, reshuffle your deck. Okay, that's what I mean about bringing it back down to the minimum basic. I've lost one, I can't win the tournament now. I've lost one, I'm definitely not the best in the UK now. Mm. Instead of, I lost one, okay, reset. I've got one game to play. Can I win the game? I'm still here.
Yeah. And that thing for me is how I've now set myself that goal of 4-2. If, like, well, day one is 4 games, there is, like, in the same way, a chance that I could win all 4 games, there's also a chance I could lose all four games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So the idea of, like, going in with that goal of 4-2, if I lose 3 games on day one, then you've, instead of just going, well, that's it, I fucked it, you have to switch it up. You just go, well, okay, cool, well, I'm just not going to lose a game now. I've got 3 games to not lose.
Well, you had the same thing at Vengeance. You had a bad starting day, you chilled out, fought on it a bit, came in next day, started winning, and it was even sheer luck that prevented you from winning all your games. It was that ability to just go, oh, it's fine, I'm coming back in fresh, I'm not letting, I'll tell you what, the champion player, the guy who great at that, will do that naturally. Henry K. Stevenson, Frazier, Alex Bock, these guys are doing well. It's not like these guys are unbeatable. They don't go in with the knowledge of predetermined victory. Absolutely no reason they can't lose. I imagine fucking they've lost games before and gone, oh well, pack the game, baby. Next one.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd even occur to them to mull over that defeat too much and go, well, get the entire thing for a waste of time, isn't it? No, get back in there. Have the champion's mindset. You lose one, whatever. Next. You lose that one, whatever. Next. You win that one, okay. Whatever. Next. Don't dwell on the highs and the lows. Keep resetting. Keep taking the games to come. You can beat any fucker on the planet. And yeah, anyone who's attending national, game going for you. If you draw me against the table, I won't lie, you're in for a hard time. I don't like to make it. If I can't win, I don't go, oh, I've lost, I give up. I still like to make it hard. I go, I'm going to get this goal, I'm going to get that takeout call, but guaranteed. I'm going to make that painful for you. You're damn right, I'm going to heal that tough hide model twice. I know you're not going to prevent me from killing you, but that can be a card and I can fucking get it. Every inch. Like, yeah. Go, I've lost the game. Fuck it. You're not just having it.
Yeah.
I go, what does it matter if you lose 12-0 or 12-11? Well, I fucking care. 12-11 it is, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Over to you on the clock.
Yeah.
Shit, there's 32 minutes left. You're damn fucking right there. Imagine that being like 12-4, and I'm just like, fuck it, half an hour clock. I think I'm just going to sit on it. Stop on there for 15 minutes. 15 minute activation. Ferron jogs back. Obviously, bro. Okay, I go up, swing. Yeah, thanks. I'll take another 10 minutes on this one.
Actually, no, Fahad's fine where he is.
You put on a YouTube video. Just Chris Rock on YouTube. From like, man, he is hilarious. Put your headphones back in. Listening to my own podcast. These guys really know what they're talking about.
Oh, God.
All
right.
Yeah. Fucking Benjamin.
Nationals.
You can win. Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, well, whatever. They're all the same.
We should have just released the same episode. Alex, you're not very confident about Nationals. I think that you can win Nationals. don't worry about the fact that there's loads of good people going to nationals.
Yeah.
Oh, I really wish that I was, it's good I'm going to nationals.
We should, I should do that, like one, like a 5 minute motivational podcast. And if you ask, we'll edit your name into it. To go, you can definitely win, Frederick. Music in the background, like going silent every time, Frederick. But speaking of the new shit, we've got Veteran Fender coming
which
up.
Which is an interesting time, isn't it? Well, I mean, this is how it was going
to
work, but...
What a time to be alive.
Just as we picked up the blacksmith, just as we're starting our path to our crusade to kill these bastards and learn how to take them on, Veteran Cinder drops. I'm sure you've already seen the card or heard the card on another podcast, but 6/8 move, attack of 6, 3/6 kick, 1 defense and armor, 1 influence, 4 influence.
Mm.
12 boxes, you know, like most... Apprentice is very killable if you know, if they're stupid enough to give them to you.
I'm gonna let you kill them though.
Mm. The Sentinel 4/2, run at me.
More importantly, with someone like Kinder, the difference that makes the difference for this model. You can, first off, Sentinel, not much of a thing for her, can sweep in charge. Unless you're willing to let your master take free damage, which I'm tempted to kill, might let them. But the thing I'm going to think of her, Kinder's defense is her good offense. Got two models crowding her out. Oh no, now I'll have to melee kill one and leave the other. I'm not entirely sure on this one. I think she's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Straight up. I really like all the character traits. Gearing strike, perfect. Sweeping charge, brilliant. Basically a free attack. And a fucking good free attack at that. Mm-hmm. Free damage for free.
To everyone.
Yeah, just...
And then, a couple of my masters have been hit, but also all the enemy models have been hit by Searing Strikes at -1 armor.
Yeah, Searing Strike doesn't apply to friendly models. So yeah, you're burning, you're taking off armor on multiple models. If they're 1-inch melee, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people 2-inch melee these days anyway, but
Impale on the character plays.
Really good.
It's just, it's Hearn's thing without the snare, isn't it?
With Hearn, I'm a very big fan of fishing around for the character who's weakened. Yeah. Going, fuck, you've got 3 health left. Bang. Impale, cured, bonus time. Take them out, keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah, really solid. I like Impale. Relatively early on a playbook, comparatively.
3 hits
on attack. The thing I like about Kinder is that because you get sweeping charge, you're basically you're spending 2 for the charge. Sweeping charge is basically giving you a refund.
Yeah.
You go, okay, you hit thank you for your damage, with burning and fucking minus armor.
Yeah.
You know, you can have that, I guess. You can have a free diving blow with burning and fucking minus 1 armor. There you go, you can have that, I guess, whatever. Yeah. And then you get all that extra tack. So she'll be rolling 10 tack, hopefully. Arguably getting 3 points of damage. Getting 3 hits. I'm going to be tooling her up.
Yeah.
That'll be my thing.
It's like Momentous 2 goes to Momentous 3, comes with the sweeping charge at 6. Yeah.
And if you get the dice spike, now that's a fucking moray right there. If you get 5 hits, 5 momentous damage. If you're tooled up, kick, bang.
The 7 at the top of the playbook, momentous 7 on 7 hits. I mean, it's nice, but I think you need instruction or you need so many crowd outs where it's like, you can only kill a model once, but you know?
Depending on the model, very doable. You're not going to get 9 times out of 10 you're not going to get the 7, but that's the thing for some models you can't take full advantage of the dice spike. Like I'm going with Hearn, I get kick, kick, yay, rap. If that's my opening hit, great, 3 damage, but even then, if you're a tough hide model, she's already tooled up. I get a good dice spike. That 8 goes down to 7 for a tough hiding model. Bang, I've done all that fucking damage. She can take advantage of the dice spike in ways other characters can't. That's what I like about the high momentum control for a lot of blacksmiths. May not get it 9 times out of 10, but when the dice do go your way, you can give them a fucking hell of a ride. Like, when I look at momentum 7 on the player book, I think, what do most characters I have to do to get 7 damage in a swing, even if all the dice go their way? And for majority of my models, even if a charge, full on charge, goes entirely their way, they kind of jake-arc and push 7. If you get 10 dice and it hits everyone, you can get 10 damage. You can get 7 damage, sorry. If she charges in and gets that 7, plus that charge, 10, burning, minus armor, hit you again, impale, maybe a free attack, maybe a free dodge, maybe a free kick. The thing I like about the dodge is that you can go out of Sentinel. If you manage to kill someone, dodge back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, I don't know what to... Obviously, just a killer, but not a bad kick either. In a pinch, could probably do all right.
3-6 is all right.
Yeah, well, imagine a scenario where you're charging someone and you know they're on only 3 health.
Mm.
You know, fuck it. Wipe them out with a... Wipe out the queen charge. You have to take the play, but damage is not low.
Yeah, so you can't take impale for it.
You can't take dodge, I was thinking.
Oh,
you can't dodge, sweeping charge, get the fuck out of there. You got to take damage. Mm-hmm. But still, fucking 2-inch dodge guaranteed. If you're lucky, you might get a good wrap. Unlikely, but like, but I'm there thinking. You look at a model, we've got like 8 health on them. You're really fucking doable.
Yeah.
Take you out, I've got the ball, 2-inch. You know, fucking doable. Really doable. Like, not like a super strike or anything, but in a push, 3-inch was really fucking good. 8-inch sprint, with the potential for another 2-inch dodge on top of that, and she got dodging on her playbook if she really needs it. I do not see the downside. Not the best model on the blacksmith, but...
I think the downside is going to be what everyone says, 12 hitboxes.
I'm not going to give you... I'm going to just hand her over.
That's the thing. I'd say any of the other ones, I'd say that, well, you're just going to give me them. But with sweep and charge, she is going to be coming out, you know?
Yeah.
She's going to be... Unless there's a scrum forming and she's right back charging into it. But she's... To get the best out of her, you want her up close and personal.
Depending on the scenario, I could happily see her crowding out with someone like Burnish or Furner. I could just keep myself going, fuck it, Furner can eat the 3 damage, I don't care.
Mm.
I'll take the 2 model, and I'll take the crowd out, more importantly. And yeah, if you're given a hand, and you can't take full advantage of Grim Vengeance, just the ability to dodge back in, and maybe... I don't see a scenario where she's not going in on the model and just flat out killing them. Like, why would I put her forward if I don't think I'm walking away with a kill?
She could cripple someone for another one of the apprentices to come in and finish off.
Yeah, that, for me, I'm thinking on her. If I were going to bring her to a team, her and Cash would be a perfect power combo. Yeah.
Well, she's the only apprentice to put down Siren Strike, isn't she?
Yeah. I think if you make Furnish your captain for some fucking reason, you can give everyone Siren Strike, but no one's going to do that for obvious reasons. I've got shrugged my shoulders at this one. I kind of wish I had, like, you know, some, like, really cool... You know, tech or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've thought about this and...
Yeah, we haven't got any particularly hot, spicy takes, have we, for this one? Just, what she's a blacksmith, she's really good.
What are you going to take away from this? You run at them, you do a shitload of damage, hopefully dodge out into one of your masters. Because that'll be, for me, that's what I'm kind of warming up to Grim Vengeance for. The idea that you'd charge past one of your masters, keep them out of that sweeping charge range. When you kill a model, you dodge back into your master, and you go back up to 4-2. And yeah, 4-2 is hard to break through, really hard to break through. And yeah, even more importantly, you bring someone in and go, oh, fuck Kinder, I'm taking her out now. Mm. Okay, counterattack, Kieran strike.
Yeah.
And hey, fucking Cash running out of midfield, and you go, oh well, I'll deny cast, I'll clear the burning. Okay, I'll spend 1 point of momentum to prevent 1 point of damage. I've just given up 4 healing. Great, yeah. I'll take that anyway. I do not see. I don't see a downside. Really fucking solid.
Mm. I think she does make blacksmith lineups that I've been playing around with.
Mm.
I don't think she makes it into my sort of striking lineup, but she definitely comes to the kill teams.
Oh yeah,
definitely comes to the kill teams.
Like, if you're going for an absolutely pure kill team, the problem I had when I was making the kill team with when I was playing against Gilast, is that I brought Anvil and Fledge, because if you bring one, you've got to bring the other, and I really wanted to bring her for Alloy.
Mm.
But it left me with a spot that was going to be filled by a super mediocre model otherwise. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll leave her out, because she don't bring enough that Anvil and Fledge don't bring enough together.
Yeah.
For me, that kind of takes the, you know, out of my hand. I go, oh fuck, Burnish, Furnish, Cat, Kinder, Herf and Alloy, and they make up the core of the striking team. And Herf's just nice to have around. Anyway, momentum's not down on one, what are you going to do about that? She can give other models who would normally struggle better melee, or Cat, do one of the few weaknesses of Cat, is 1-inch melee. Herf comes in, you're alright, love,
use this,
you can have that. You can have that, and I'll come in on a legendary turn for that 3-inch melee, just fucking crowd out everyone, knock everyone down. Yeah, I really like this model. Can't wait to get her on the board.
Mm.
When I never ever made this switch to blacksmith.
We got any messages? You put a shout out at ridiculous o'clock in the morning, didn't you?
Yeah, okay, finishing work and all that lot. I'm coming up on the old Twitter, which is where, you know, all the questions get. Look, like, we posted this morning, people actually replied, like, you know, relatively quickly. Fucking hell. Man, I really should have front-loaded these, because these are actually pretty hefty fucking questions. I'll try and keep them relatively brief. If you don't take the crown, impossible, but which guild, in your eye, will take it and why? Alec?
I think it's going to be Union. I do.
Yeah.
I think they've just got... It's two factors. It's one, the Union Guild has so many models, has such a variety of models. It's jack of all trades. They can do everything. I think they're ones to watch. And also, if you look at the event list on Longshanks, that's who a lot of top players seem to be playing lately. And
yeah.
It's almost as if they know what they're doing.
Yeah, Union have remained consistently a powerful team throughout Guild Ball, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
And, well, Fang and Vex Bigot will have just dropped, and they're technically Union for now.
They've ruled on that, though. You're not allowed to bring them.
Have they?
Oh, no. Regular Union.
Yeah.
Oh, if fucking Fang Tooth and Bigot allowed.
Yeah, they're Union.
Fuck.
They're Union until the split, mate.
Oh, I thought...
That's why...
Well, Bruin and Fish Out are to bring them in, I guess.
Yeah, because they're...
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. So Vet Fang Tooth and Vet Spigot are in your lists this weekend.
Lisa can't be... Oh, yeah, you have the whole Red Fury thing, didn't
you?
Ah, shit. Well, Lisa can't be targeted by Red Fury, thank fuck for that. Fuck it, they made sure to include that, like, the top of the character trait. Yeah, that question kind of like... I don't feel like that questioning, who do you think is a better guild? But in reality, it's more of like, who are the best players playing? A lot of the best players are bringing Union, their Union team... Yeah, I don't think some new hotness is going to make them not bring their best team.
Yeah.
But I'd say Union. But after that, I'd say Hunter.
I said, if you don't.
I'll come under another name. What do you advice do you have for managing limited communication between you and your opponent in regard to measuring? Intent, rule. Basically, when you play the quiet player who moves the extra inch every time and is sloppy with placement, etc.
Right, this is something that's come up before, and my tactic, which is a bit passive-aggressive, is if I see someone moving a model too far, I'll say, oh, what's it? How far can he jog? I thought he had a 5-inch jog, and you see them sort of going, yeah, he does, and I was got, and then I'd say, oh, he's moved further than 5 inches there, you know, if you haven't. Or if what people are really fucking bad for, and what really pisses me off, is putting a straight widget down and then not factoring in things having to move around bases and stuff.
Yeah.
At which point I do just then, you do just have to say, oh no, I don't think you've got the movement if you've got to move around that base. It's something that I'm quite an awkward person.
Yeah,
I found it very difficult to start to say this. The reason I suddenly started doing it is because I didn't want to lose because I was too awkward to say something.
Yeah,
I didn't want to be playing a different set of rules to this person. I know there are some people that if someone else is just measuring a bit sloppy, they'll go, right, well, fuck you then, and they'll start doing it themselves. But I refuse to do that. I'm sorry, I don't think you've got the movement, because he's got, like, for example, oh, I don't think you've got the movement, he's got to move around Casket's base, or he's got to move around Corsair's bit base, you know, because that's what people I've often seen is the straight measurement stick from a 30mm base, and they'll just put it straight down, and you have to say, no, I don't think you can do that, I don't think he's got the distance.
Yeah.
But if people are literally just moving like a 5-inch 6 inches, then you say, I don't think they've got the movement for that, I thought he had a 5-inch jog, or oh, sorry, what jog's he got?
Yeah, I'd agree to an extent, yeah. I think the answer to it is probably the one that people have a hard time doing. Yeah, you've got to confront them about it if they're being that cheeky with it. One of my personal fucking pet peeves is when people put the measuring stick down, pick it up, and then move. And then move beyond, obviously beyond the widget.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, don't get me wrong, if you're a new player or whatever, or you kind of don't give a shit, like it... I tend to go online of I let other players get away with shit they let me get away with. Like, sometimes, you know that thing where you go, oh, I did this, but I didn't mean to. Do you mind if I take it back a bit? Yeah, okay. I will do that for you now. If he turns around and goes, well, you've already moved now. There you go. Go, okay, fine. Okay, can you fucking start? Move an inch. You're done now. You know, that's your thing. I tend to mirror my opponent's attitude.
Mm.
But the mirroring, the kind of giving back and forth, and then actually taking the fucking piss. If I'm taking like cheeky extra inching on movement, you've got to go, we can't do that. You've not got that much movement.
It is, but I can understand that it is very hard to do. The first time you do it, it is so hard, but it gets to the point where I've kept forcing myself to do it to the point where it's now just part of the game. It's just now, I just now feel completely comfortable if someone, because basically, you know, it sounds a bit over the top, sounds like you're accusing someone, but it's cheating.
It's
cheating. You're not winning this fucking game because you're cheating, mate. I'm not having it.
Yeah. Well, if this was Warhammer, I wouldn't give a shit. But for something like this, where you literally measure to the millimetre every time, an extra inch really does make the difference. It will separate what a good model from a bad model. Here, when you take the fucking pick a bit and you go, I'm very much a big fan of the pre-measuring, and I make them acknowledge what they can and can't get away with ahead of time, like going, oh, I'm looking for this. I try and, normally most people are fine with it, but occasionally get the kind of guy who do that shit always try and move before you can react. That's their shtick. Like the guy who go, they get the extra inch movement. They don't, when I'm moving, I go, okay, they've got a 5 inch jog, they're the widget, they end here, okay, move. The guy can go, oh, I've got a 5 inch jog, I'll just pick that widget up, boom. So you go, oh, where's the original play? And go like, that kind of shit, and put picking me off, where they try and go, oh, I'll do it quickly, okay. Like it's a fucking magic trick or something. Like, no.
If there is nothing in the way, what I'll do is I'll place the flat stick down, I'll lift it so the corner of it is where the model's ending, and I'll put the model in that position. If there is any kind of turning whatsoever, and they need to move 7 inches, I'll either use a 3 and a 4, if I know that they can make it, or I'll get the steppers out.
I do that, move them where they need to be, then finish off the movement, clean if I can get it.
That's it. But like, if one thing some people do is they get the L-shaped widgets and they go 2 inches and they sort of step the model to, this is an audio medium, why am I doing this with my fingers?
You know what I mean. Yeah.
But like, they've got the 2 inches and they'll take 2 inches and then they'll rotate it corner to corner, 4 inches, rotate it
they'll
corner to
corner,
six. They'll
move it over on itself,
And it's just like, well, that doesn't work when you're going around corners because you're not taking into account the size of a base, which will add up. If you've got to move around two models, you're going to be losing a good chunk of your movement.
Oh yeah.
So it's just it's horrible. There's no secret way to do it. There's no jar you can open which stops people doing it. You have just got to call people.
You got to confront them. Yeah. And like, when it comes to getting what, you know, they mean by the intention of the move, you lead by example. When you're measuring, keep it clean on your measurement. Go, I put that down, ink there, okay, boom.
And say he's sprinting into there, or he's jogging to there, or it's a charge, he's charging to this position.
Well, yeah, I don't... I go, right, this guy go, he's got a 7-inch jog, here's the one, here's the pick, and there. When it comes to intent, by what you mean by something, sometimes I'll move, my most common thing is, I move model up and go, actually, if I've moved them up there, I'm kind of in your range, I'm going to move them back. For me, I have the area I've got to move back in between where, you know, originally started. Like, it can't be in doubt that I've got the ability to do that. But I always, the best way to just attack the opponent and go, I didn't mean to go that far, I'm going to pull him back a couple of inch. And if you're nice to people, like, there are times, how many times I've gone with Ferran and I forgot to put my fork down and gone, I meant to put my fork down, do you mind if I do it? And I know I can get it from where I originally, it won't done, like, fuck with what I originally intended to do. I don't do a character play and then put the forest between me and the guy and go, oh yeah, I've got it now. I'd put it somewhere where it wouldn't have affected what I'd already done. And if you're nice about it, most people will go, yeah, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect what you were doing. Yeah, does the thing you're changing affect the actual outcome of the turn you just had?
Yeah.
If yeah, then no, you don't get it. If no, it didn't make a difference. It wouldn't have done. Yeah.
The difference is there being, right, a counter attack. Oh shit, well, I didn't mean to come into
I forgot to give myself cover. Or like when you're going into cover, my intent, like you move up and then you go, I attack. Oh, while there. Well, my intent was to be in that cover, obviously.
Yeah,
I like the fact I'm a fraction of above an inch out. Like, could I have made it? Was it literally a millimeter for millimeter situation? No. Could I have moved that little fraction over? Yeah, that was my intent, to be in cover.
So in that sort of situation, that's where I say, right, he's going to sprint over to here into cover.
Or when
I'm ending an activation and there's a horrible scrum going on, often I will just go, right, he's engaging him, he's engaging him, he's engaging him. Are you happy that they're engaging and they aren't? Like that sort of thing.
I want to leave the guy's melee, I want to stay in the guy's melee, blah, blah, blah.
I think just clarifying.
Yeah, okay, lead by example.
Yeah.
Do play the way you want to play the game, and if they actually try and do bullshit on you, you've got to go, stop doing that. And I hate to, I know it's football to have to do that to a guy, but the way I view it, they should fucking know better.
Yeah.
And if they're the one putting you in that position when you've got to go, I got a fucking referee my own game here.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the ones where someone goes, oh, he's got this much movement, and they'll place the model down and they'll go, oh, I didn't mean to be engaging him, and then they'll move it further away from when they started. They'll go, oh, there we go, I want it to be out of an inch. And I'm like, yeah, you want it to be out of an inch. I want 4-3 VP. That's not going to fucking happen, mate.
Yeah.
But obviously you don't do it with that sort of tone.
Depends how pathetic they are. Like, I've never had a game, thank fuck, where I've had to turn around and go, are you taking a fucking pick with it? Like, you know, and I don't know, I played against some guy who have been absolutely fucking cheeky or whatever, and they know they're doing it, and I'm like going, And to be honest, 9 times out of 10, I remain calm in them games because they go, oh shit, I knew I was going to beat him anyway.
Mm.
All that going, you can have the half inch, I don't give a shit, I'm going to win anyway. You know what, take two extra 2 inching. There you go. Who won? I did. Well, thanks for playing, you cheating cunt. Imagine how much more I would have beat you if you'd taken away that 2 inch you kept fucking taking. But yeah, if you know it's a game and you know they're fucking taking the pick, okay, the game is measured to the millimetre. It's not Warhammer where I move the first model and go, I can't be half measuring them all. Everyone they're all behind him.
I mean, how many times have you done it where you've gone, right, I'll use acrobatic, I'll sprint for this, I'll do that, and then you've measured it all out and you've got all your widgets out, and then you line up, you kick one up to the goalpost and there's a hair between it, and you and your opponent look at each other and you just go, I haven't got it. And you just know you haven't got it. And that's the difference, is the people who will look at that sort of thing and go, I haven't got it, and the people who look up expecting you to go, oh, you can have that.
Yeah, go, can you let me win, please? No. To be fair, on some occasion where it's touching, or actually I'll have a quick look at the widget myself just to make sure they've got it right. I won't go, if they measure it and go, oh, I don't think I've got it, and go, oh, you haven't, I'll have a double check myself, yeah, just in case. Like, wait a minute, if you just move that fraction, you're there.
Yeah.
Like, it's doable. Don't.
That's it. That, well, that's it. You're not sort of going, oh shit, if he went the other way around that piece of cover, he'd get it. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's not my position to help them win.
Yeah.
Or give them.
But if you're literally just aligning a widget.
Yeah.
Then,
it's like going, just let me just double check that to make sure they're tight.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd see no problem with that. Yeah, couldn't be confrontational. Last one. If only one person can win the event, how do you feel players manage the disappointment of losing a game mid-event? For the many, winning isn't going to be the final outcome. So should they go to nationals with other objectives, e.g. to prep for other event, learn to? We partially covered losing during an event.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that, because I know we're both going there with the idea of, it's very possible that, like, we're both thinking it's very possible that I could win this event, you know?
Yeah.
That there is a reality where there is a timeline where this happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, I know that you believe that you can do it much more than I believe that I can do it.
Yeah.
And so if I'm, that's all, like, your target should always be first place. Should always be first place.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm going for. 4-2 is a backup goal for me. I'm going to be crowned, stand on a table, look at you, give you the finger, and then knock your drink over.
I'd win the next game then and go, get calm, UK.
I'd be like, who's got the ticket to Worlds? You know, like, so.
I'm like, going, go, it's a matter of honour. We all know.
But if I think it's important to not just go, this is what I'm going for, and this is the only thing I'm going for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of the other things I'm going for is that last week we were saying that I'm now running a full roster, and I'm using this as 6 compact games to like run that new game mentality through. You know, am I going to win? Probably fucking not. If I had to bet on me winning or losing, I'd probably bet on me losing. If losing is becoming second or below, right?
Yeah, I don't want people looking to update the confidence we have about the event for flat out delusion.
Yeah.
Like here, for a kick of argument, you have 15% chance of winning national, right? Who's going to bet on you other than you? Yeah, go in there with that. You know, it's a 15% chance, but it is there. Again, live in the world of maybe. But yeah, we're not delusional about our actual chance of winning the fucking thing.
So what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to break out of my streak of winning, which, apart from Vengeance, I have won one game at every tournament I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from the, I think including the last one we did. Yeah, including that last one we did, it was because the second one was a bye. Out of the 4 games, I lost 2, got a 1-1, got a bye. And so yeah, that I'm going to help me learn drafting from a roster into a team of 6.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I want to learn. And I also want to give Shark a couple of runs out to try and get them skills back on.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of relearn that superstar striker. Because 6 games in 2 days, it normally takes me 3-4 weeks to get 6 games in. So this is when to learn something, when to reinforce something, I think.
Like when I go to something like Nationals, winning national isn't the only reason I go. If I lose in game, I wash my hands for the whole event.
Mm.
I'm going there to have a bit of a laugh, like, flat out. And if you're not going to national with the intent on actually enjoying yourself, not only should you not attend, but you weren't going to win anyway. That's flat out. If you went, I either win national or I'm not going to have a good time, then don't attend. You're not going to win. And I'd argue that not only are you not going to win national, you're not even going to win most games. Just a bad way to think. Mm. Yeah, sure, you think for practice games, you for whatever you mean. But yeah, intend to win. You view it as an opportunity to show you your play at absolute best. But you can do that and do other things at the same time.
Mm.
If Guild Ball was run where you just showed up to a tournament and they basically picked you a team at random every game, I'd still go in there with the thing like, I'm going to play my best with the team I've been given. With the model I've got, with the mindset I've got, can I outthink these dudes? If everything's random, can I still win? Yeah. Why not? Have your own objectives and stuff in mind, but it doesn't have to be just one thing. Yeah, go in there. You want to learn a new team? Fuck it, go in there, learn that new team. You're going to play games in a weekend, you're going to play game. Enjoy the fucking game. Do what you need to do to enjoy that game. And if the only way you can enjoy the game is thinking, I have to win national, then yeah, do that too. You know, everyone's different. But yeah, it's always an opportunity to play. And again, you might get a chance to play the absolute best.
Mm.
It's really good to way to fight, get a bit of a barometer for where you're really playing. Like, a lot of people look on Longchamp and go, I'm ranked whatever, so that's what rank I am.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're only good at last play you beat, or last game you played. And for me, as far as I'm concerned, if I can beat any of these top players, I am a top player.
Yeah.
Like, the fact I'm not top 8 on Longchamp doesn't mean if I managed to beat Steve Easton or Henry Kay, I wouldn't view myself as good a player. I walk away. If I came up to you after game and go, I beat Henry Kay, you won't go, huh, well, you still rank fuck you on Longchamp. Yeah. You go, shit, get through the top player. I could arguably make the claim that I'm one of the best in the UK. Why not? So yeah, going with that. Don't win the... Okay, start at the top. Am I the best in the UK winning national? Maybe not. Can I beat one of the best in the UK? Maybe. If I can beat that guy, maybe I am one of the best. Maybe I am top 8. You just, yeah, get your goals on a moment-to-moment level. But yeah, don't get put off because you don't think you can win the entire thing. And again, I imagine a lot of people going there knowing they won't win. Fair enough. I don't think you should believe you should. Or try, at the very least, fucking try. Try harder.
Only one person's going to win.
And why can't it be him, motherfucker? No reason why it can't be. What could some knobheads on Longchamp in your way? Run through them. I play Vet Rage. Overrated team. Oh god, they're so fucking good. Veteran Fangty, for fuck's sake. Thank fucking god they can't Red Fury that guy. Jesus Christ. I have to admit, if I'd have been going up against Veteran Fangty, if we could get Red Fury, I'd be like, how the fuck do I stop this madman from running through on my team?
I'll tell you what, one thing I'm quite excited to see. I hope I draw someone who basically plays the church, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, technically I think they're still playing the Union, but, you know, it's the church, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, because I really want to see that Spigot shenanigans with Potbelly Pass and...
Yeah, ready to think of new shit.
Yeah.
Or another tip of the eye as well. If you're going up against a team that just come out, or you're up against, you know, Ratcatcher to a lesser extent, you know, the church... new team, hot team configuration. Don't get put off. Okay, if they're new to you, they're probably new to that player. And don't get too deflated going in.
Mm.
Like, yeah, going, we're all new here, motherfucker. And now with the two new teams, I'm the one playing with the team I know. Like, yeah, make them bleed for it. No matter if you're 12, if it's 11 hero, make them bleed for every VP. I don't want to hear about one guy forfeiting a game early in the fucking tournament. I want everyone to go down to the wire. I want 4 hour long game. I want dice down, motherfucker. Even if you got no chance of winning, make them bleed for it. You know, if I get really badly beat, like fucking 11-2, I might just fucking time out. You just fucking put YouTube on.
So who asked the questions? Because we didn't say who they were.
Dan, but he's known as Try Hard Dan on Twitter. And yeah, good question from Dan. An episode worth all into the fucking shelf, to be honest.
And we got Chris dropped a message as well.
What did he ask?
So, Christopher Williams has said, it's funny because he's actually started cramming more and more games in, and he thinks that his results have started to decline, and that he realised he plays better when he's relaxed and not too worried about how he's going to do. So he's ended up just trying to get in games against games he hasn't played much into. So, like, for example, he hasn't actually played into Alchemists. So his plan is to relax, chill, enjoy himself, and to buy Vet Chisel on Friday. She's very good, smiley face.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we sort of covered earlier, you know, that idea of relax, keep calm, carry on.
Yeah, like, okay, best way to get better at the game, play with many different guilds you can, with many different players you can. But, yeah, you don't have, I already know I'm the kind of player, if I played a shitload of games, I wouldn't enjoy the game as much, and I play worse as a result.
Yeah,
you've got to try and keep yourself in that magic zone where you're like, I'm having a good time.
Mm.
And it blows me away how many people I imagine have played the game, especially at tournaments, and just not had a good time, flat out. I'm just going, I can't win, I can't do this, I can't beat the guy, you know, I'm getting stomped on, I just feel like shit being here, why did I attend? Instead of going, oh, I got to meet a bunch of new nerds, got 4 games in, got to play a bunch of different team, shook a bunch of hand, drank a bunch of coffee, had some free cake, you know, what more do you want? Yeah, I'm with Chris on that. Chris seemed to be a player after my own heart. Yeah, fork in a situation, because that's what everyone else does. You've got to take it on a moment-to-moment basis. I can give all the generic advice I like and go, you know, you could do better if you do this, could do better if you do that, attitude, mind over matter, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you know your own temperament best.
Yeah.
And you have to really think, am I getting fun out of this at the end of the day? I don't, out of all the things I could remind people of, I think that's the one people need reminding of most. This is a game, it is meant to be fun. This is meant to be for enjoyment. And I know there are a lot of people who play the game who take it very, very, very seriously. And like, I'm on a fucking, we've got a podcast for this fucking game. And I know for a fact, I take the game more seriously than a lot of people out there. There are plenty of times where I can see myself not playing this game anymore. I've walked out on other games that I love. Don't know what'll happen with the podcast then. But, you know.
It'll be very quiet.
It'll be quiet on you. You can keep talking about Guild Ball Arch coming with other unrelated.
What's happening in Street Fighter V?
You know, I don't even play Street Fighter 5 as much as I used to. Love the game, played the shitload out of it. Can't be after keeping up with it anymore. Why? Wasn't having as much fun. And when I wasn't having fun, I didn't play my best. And when I didn't play my best, I didn't have fun. End of fucking game. Now I don't play it. Game of Guild Ball. Don't force the situation because you think that's what you're meant to be doing. How do you play? How do you get the most out of the game? And I would recommend to Chris, if you're not playing any games, play with other guilds. Like, okay. Don't be worried too much about playing into the guild you want to be. Play. I think you learn more. If I have to choose between playing against the guild once and playing with them once, I genuinely think you learn more from playing with the guild once than playing against them.
That's it, because as you can read the cards as many times as you want, but unless you're actively trying to make them do work for you, you can't always see where the setup's coming from, where you can't really always see where this is.
Well, okay, if I run into you with Kina and go, I'm picking up a big handful of fucking dice, and I'm rolling them, and you're going, oh, fuck it, what was he getting? Oh, and I go, ooh, momentum 2 damage and knock down. You know my playbook I was looking for, where I really would have gone for the bear hug, potentially wrap for the knockdown, knowing that the numbers might have been on my side. Playing it and going, when you're playing it, you're looking at what you don't get. But when you're on the receiving end, you always feel like your opponent's getting what they want.
Yeah.
Unless they just flat out fucking botch it to a level, obviously, you know. They botch it to a point where you know they've got a terrible result. No, I've got one hit, I've not got a hit at all. But when you're actually playing with them, you're more aware of what you don't get with this model or what you have a hard time getting. The information is much more valuable. Yeah, I'm glad you're having a better time playing, Chris. Like, yeah, it makes you a fucking better player, having fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, Veteran Chinkle is very good.
I think we're going to see a fair few, like, rush-painted faithfuls.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people are going to be fucking... Yeah, cracking out that tabletop quality.
I'm going to be bleary-eyed Saturday morning with Veteran Sakana, just still drying.
Yeah, still don't know how I feel about that moment.
I think he did more work for me in the game we just played than original Sakana would have done.
Oh, but original Sakana, oh god.
He is, but without Raise the Black Flag, there was a point at the bottom of the turn when Corsair had the ball and I set up for the turn 2 goal.
Yeah.
If I didn't have Raise the Black Flag, would have been dead in the water.
Maybe.
And I was looking for fancy footwork on Herm the entire game.
Yeah.
I really, really like Veteran Sakana. I've started to wonder if he's going to push original Sakana out my 10.
Yeah,
Not sure.
Yeah, I think you know Fisherman better than I do.
Because the thing is, at the moment, I want original Siren, Veteran Siren, original Sakana, and Veteran Sakana in my 10.
Yeah.
And something's got to give.
Yeah, you've got to get the boot.
Yeah. And the Sirens are so vastly different to each other that when you look at original and Veteran Sakana, you're sort of going, there's not a whole lot one can do that the other can't, you know?
Yeah.
And the stuff that Veteran can, that original can't, compared to what original can and Veteran can't, I think I just need the tools that the Veteran brings.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair enough. Man, it's an awkward one. I don't know the guild that well. I don't know really how to comment on it. I've just not been blown away by Veteran Sakana playing against him. And there are a lot of things that I'd be way more worried about playing against original Sakana that I could just factor out.
Like poised. I didn't have any momentum, and you went in to bounce off, you know?
Yeah, and it was mine to take. Yeah, really, really good model, but put me in that area of like, man, yeah. I think original Sakana feels like more of a bullying model. Like, I feel like I know know what to do in that can in a way that I can't really get away with originally. Mm. That being said, it's still keep fucking solid.
Yeah.
Like, I think out of all the regular and veteran model, he feels like the most closer to his original self.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's the problem.
Yeah. That, I think that for me, that's the point of contention. Yeah, compared to like take Spigot, for example. Thinking Spigot, he got a lot of shit that made original and veteran really good.
But because he's in a different guild, they're not fighting for a place in a roster,
yeah.
So they can have that the complete Spigot.
Like he's very similar, but he's got all the good quality. I think original model.
That's it. Because if it was original veteran and seasoned Spigot all in one, all in the Brewers, why would you ever take original or seasoned?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's gonna be interesting in national. And I'm hoping to see you all. We're hoping to see you all on the table, ready to rock, ready to fucking beat up. Anyone who listens to this should be getting ready to take up to town. But like I said, I'm going down kicking and screaming, and I bet fucking Alex should be too.
If it's going the wrong way, would you burn down that clock, baby?
Get a dictionary out. Maybe just do that. Have super quick activation. Just a max count clock. Let him get halfway through the game and be like, okay, 15 minute turn coming right up.
I'm going to the bar. Do you want anything?
Yeah. Come back. If you move from my model, Paul clock. To you.
God.
Well, yeah, we won't be doing that.
No, that was all in jest.
Yeah. Come next weekend. I actually can't wait for the national. It's going to be a really good time. During the Saturday night, if you're available, if you want to come say hi, if you want to come have a drink at the pub and talk guild war shit.
If you want to come say... If you want to come and sit amongst us.
Fuck off,
you. Mere mortals.
Yeah, you see, right? Like the, you see how arrogant Alex has become. You've got a bit of that podcast fame. I was like, you know what, if you want to come hang out, I'd like to get high to a bunch of people anyway, that'd be cool. But Alex just assumed that your god complex is getting out of control. Why can't you use that to try and win? a couple of people said, do you want to, you know, if you're there, like, we'll come hang out.
Let's get gaming and stuff. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, so if you're around. And you're
it's still, it's out. Like, every now and then I check our downloads, and it still fucking blows me away that people...
More than people other than us, even. Yeah, like,
listen
vaguely.
To this toss.
Yeah, so. Fuck it. I do, there are times when I'm looking back to the, not while looking back, but while I'm recording, and I go, man, what a fucking bunch of wank. What fucking waste of time. How many hours, like, if you think of all the people who've downloaded it, how many combined hours have we just wasted of people's lives? That'll be the reason I go to hell when I die. St. Peter, like, with a giant hourglass full of, like, you're going to have to wait for the amount of time you've wasted.
Here you go, mate. Here's the firm sticker while you're waiting.
Yeah, you've got to roll 10 feet you're going to roll before that timer runs out. God knows if you've got enough time. But yeah, I don't know, ready to call it.
Yeah, I was thinking though, like, I was listening to Roll Better, and they've got their sign off, and they go, please do roll better, you know. And then there's Rage Quit Wire, where they say, roll dice and throw salt. Thinking, what would be the sort of soundbite? What would be the line that encapsulates the firm? I think it'd be something. What could it be? What, like, something like, I don't know, I think that you'd be more positive than you'd want to make out. I think you'd be something like, go and win your next game, like, fucking...
Do you know what, genuinely, do you know what came to my mind?
Go on.
Go fucking go.
And please do, go fuck yourself.
Not a podcast I really like. He gets, like, you know, comments and email and telephone messaging, and they always end with go fuck yourself, and I love that. That's the kind of thing you say to, you know, your friends. I've already said before on the podcast, I wanted to really hammer home with buddy talking shit, and I think for the most part we've delivered on the buddy and the talking shit, underlying the talking shit, but
and we've accidentally made some people think that we think we're an authority as well.
Well, no, we absolutely are that. I've already declared that I'm a genius at this game. I'm literally unbeatable, and I expect, when I turn up to national, I expect people to surrender. Like, I'm going to say, okay, what guild are you playing? Are you going to forfeit or what? No. That's how you want it, huh?
Fine.
No, but yeah, what do you say to your buddy? Yeah, catch you around, go fuck off. That that's what I'm like anyway. Like, yeah, you don't. But for me, that's relatively tame. You don't know what I actually get, my friend.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this podcast is the PG version of me.
Yeah, it. Like hours of editing goes into this. Like, and I think most podcasts just top and tail it with a bit of music. I have to go through. There are references I have to take out every.
Oh yeah, week. Absolutely. we're gonna go like that time I mentioned, and that thing when I. Oh yeah, and that thing where I like going, if you wear what I'm about to get right now, I'll be arrested.
The thing is that you don't know because you don't listen to other podcasts, but Roll Better released a podcast this week where they did that exact joke. Where they They talked about the season 4 playtest and they all said like, oh, I think they were really good. And then they had the beep, like the sentence. Oh, I think that beep was really good, you know, beep.
God damn it.
So you've just completely ripped off their joke. And
Edit it all out. Oh my god, man. I'm quite happy with what we're doing. Awkwardly going, I guess I'll just catch you around. Eking out with a music and then kind of just crying at the end and going, man, what the fuck are we doing? that can be the crying out.
Yeah.
Catch you later, guys.
What the fuck are we going on? Oh, you've changed the line.
Right, yeah. Well, in that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Go fuck yourself.